Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we hear in the world something else. We can leave any day and call for help. With God, nobody was above me. That A on my chest like a Dolce. That A on my chest, put your fist up. That A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alva, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out.
Sean, truly, the timing of this show is a big problem. Because beyond the fact that, you know, it's 10 to 12, whatever, and I got to rush in here from the John and Lance show to do this, the trailer's out, man. The deep dive trailer, gameplay trailer for NC, not, I keep saying it, EA College Football is out. And all I want to do is watch it. But, you know, there are other things to talk about. I hope you guys are all doing well out there. Because of the weather, once again, a crazy storm rolls through the city, and even I, a person in League City who's rarely ever affected by it, because for whatever reason, we've been lucky here, you get the notification that not only is bad weather in the area, but you're suffering from power outages. So I hope, hopefully all you guys are good to go, be safe out there, and we'll try to get you through till 12, and obviously the rest of the lineup will take over. So as I pretend like I'm not focused on a college football game that doesn't affect a lot of you, let's talk about the Astros and some positivity. They won a game yesterday, and credit to Spencer Arrighetti and credit to the staff overall. Four quality starts in Seattle, and credit to the lineup, Sean. The streak is over. They scored runs in two different innings, so sure, they are historic for the expansion era. But they did not become part of baseball history overall. We know baseball, a game about history. Eight straight games would have marked a record. And the Astros avoided it. And they got a win. So
they came up short.
Oh, you think. Yeah, I guess if you score five in one inning and you win because of how good Arrighetti and the rest of the bullpen is.
And they only had to score one.
True. They were really, really. He was really, really good. So, sure. If at that point, if you're going to win the game anyway, let's be make history.
Yeah,
let's be legends.
After they scored two in the fourth inning, they should have just taken every pitch for the rest of the game.
Yeah, just to set a mark, because this season may not have a lot of history in it. That one would have been historic, and you get a win, so everyone goes home happy.
Mariners didn't score at all, so
yeah, it's true. Now, you can't plan on that. Thankfully, the Astros have a more serious approach to their profession than we do to, well, our actual profession.
Well, and theirs as well.
And theirs as well. They actually took it seriously yesterday, so they get the win. And if you look at what Spencer Arrighetti has done in his most recent starts, you got to give him a lot of credit. He talked about, I think, maybe after his last start, finding more of a rhythm and really settling into being a major league pitcher. Yesterday, we'll play the sound from him. He discussed the internal pressure he put on himself to keep up with the standard that the rest of the rotation set when it came to this series, and he did. The strikeouts are building. He continues to increase the strikeout numbers. The walks are a bit of an issue, but they didn't cause him any real harm yesterday. And I don't know what he will be going forward. You can just praise him for the month of May that he's had, particularly after his awful start. He's one of those Astro pitchers who you continue to look at his ERA, and basically it's being hampered by his first couple starts. But it's slowly but surely decreasing and becoming a number where you can go, okay, if he is going to be our fifth starter, if health ever returns to the rotation, looks like he can be okay. Hunter Brown is another one of those guys who, after a rough beginning, has found his form. So now you look at the rotation, and surely consistency will be something you have to hope for. But Fromber, Verlander, Blanco, Hunter Brown, and Arrigetti. Not necessarily in that order, but the guys who are healthy right now, the way they've pitched over the last couple of outings, you can feel really, really good. And now you just hope the lineup can find its way, which you certainly will still have questions with. But the way the Astros have built this run is finding pitching. Like, if you go back to 2017 and look at the rotation, can you remember all the guys from the rotation of the first World Series win? Do you think you can name them off?
Verlander, Keuchel, Morton, McCullers, the last one.
What do you think? The last one is the one that people might have issue with.
Brad Peacock?
There it is, Brad Peacock. Brad Peacock. And surely the Verlander, bringing him in, put him over the top. We know that 2017 felt like it was teetering until they acquired Verlander, and then they took off again, and it led to the World Series win against the Dodgers. But the way the Astros have been able to not – well, now they paid Christian Javier, paying Fromber, but that came later. They didn't have to go out and acquire – and sure, they got Cole, and he was great. But they haven't had to fill the third, fourth, or fifth guy with big money deals. They traded for Greinke. That had middling success, and of course he was really good in Game 7, and then we know what happened, eight outs away. But the Odorizzi thing didn't work out, but you didn't have to – follow that up with another money move to go find your fourth or fifth starter. The ability to have Urquidy and Javier and Fromber around really has stretched this run out longer than it might have been if you had to continue to shell out money in free agency for starting pitching. Maybe Hunter Brown and Arrigetti are next in line. When eventually the Verlander thing ends, it will have to end at some point. He's pitched really well recently, so does he have one more in him next year? Probably. And does it go beyond that? That's yet to be determined. But the Astros' ability to find cheap starting pitching, most generally it's been from Latin America, but you see Hunter Brown, some of their guys in their farm system finding their way, and Arrigetti along with them, and you start to think, okay, that reminds us of the Astros finding spots where you don't have to spend money and still getting a good return on really a low investment. So shout out to Spencer Arrigetti and his performance and his most recent performances. I think his ERA is under like 3.5 in the month of May. So that's a guy who continues to improve. And is he going to be someone we can depend on? I hope so. Because health with Luis Garcia and McCullers feels like that is not something I'm depending on. And then we know about Javier and Urquidy, and their Urquidy thing gets scarier by the day. When they initially, everyone, at least the thought was not so bad. And then Dana Brown comes out recently and says he's worried about it. And of course, the Javier thing where it was a neck thing, and then there's no issues there. And now there's discomfort. So the injuries keep piling up, but you are finding some relief from your younger guys. And that's nice to see in a year where things have pretty much everything's gone the opposite of what we expected. So the Astros get a win. There's something going on that I'm not sure is real or not. Because if you follow the Space Cowboys, who you can hear on 92.5, they have an admin who has a little spice. Their admin, and I don't know if they deleted it or not, but I can't find it. There was a tweet about Joey Loperfido playing first base that was quote tweeted by a lot of Astros accounts and just simply people in the city who follow the team. And it pretty much just said a first baseman doing first baseman things. He made a play at first base, and the hope is that Joey Loperfido plays first base for the Astros at some point because there's a gaping hole there. And I won't mention the names because at some point we can just do a show without mentioning a particular first baseman who doesn't play well, hopefully at some point. But I think the tweet was deleted. It got a lot of attention, but it was like the Space Cowboys are sick of the Astros stuff. I can't use the word anyone who talks normally would use, but they're sick of it. They're sick of the Astros-ish when it comes to not playing Loperfido at first base or sending him down. So, Sean, if you think you can find it, let me know. But I think they had to trash that tweet because it felt like it was the affiliate talking about the Major League Club in a slick way, and maybe the Astros called down and like, hey, knock it off. Get that tweet out of here. Let me know if I think enough people saw it, at least by all the quote tweets. So, guys, let me know if that's still up, because I couldn't find it as I was scrolling through the Space Cowboys account. that the Loperfido, he did, they didn't mention Loperfido by name, but they just said a first baseman doing first baseman things, and now I can't find it anymore.
Interesting.
So I got a conspiracy already to talk about. Did the Astros call down Sugar Land and go, hey, cut it out?
Who ordered the code red?
Yeah, we know people have taken issue with the Astros admin, mostly because they are not like the Space Cowboys admin, at least in this regard, because the Astros have been spicy in the past. This one was like, our dude can play first base. Why the hell is he down here and not with the big club?
It's been deleted.
It had to be, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can still, I still see it because Jeremy retweeted it or quote tweeted it.
Yeah.
And so it still like popped up on my thing, but underneath it, it says this post has been deleted.
Yeah. It felt like it got too much attention for the Astros, or maybe just someone in one of the higher ups with the Space Cowboys said, all right.
65 quote tweets, 781 likes, 17 bookmarks.
Yeah. It is something that was...
People took note of it.
They took note of it, and the consternation involving first base with the Astros has been well documented, and the fact that Loperfido, who had hit well while he was up, got sent down because of that particular player, it was going to draw some attention. So the Space Cowboys, either they did it, they took it upon themselves to get rid of it, or the Astros said, hey, would you not point out that particular thing? We're taking enough heat from it ourselves. We don't need you guys. You know, you're one of us. Don't do it. So, yeah, I thought so because I was going to put it on the rundown and talk about it, but I couldn't find it as I was getting ready. So, yeah. Hey, the Space Cowboys, they're just like us. They're just like us. They don't think the situation at first base was handled correctly. But I do think it's nice to know that Loperfido is getting time there, because at some point you want him to be the guy, and then this ugly era in Astros history of not having a Major League first baseman on the roster can go away. Shout out to the Space Cowboys for being a little spicy. Didn't think you had it in you. You can hear the Space Cowboys all the time here on 92.5. If you want some of that spice. I don't know if their play-by-play guy is as spicy as their admin, but hey. We appreciate having that relationship with the Space Cowboys. In fact, at some point, there's going to be another ESPN 97.5 night with the Space Cowboys. You know, the last time we had one of those nights, the station kind of blew up. If we remember, the wheelhouse was here, and then they weren't. I remember sitting next to Brad Kellner and having a discussion about the future of that show, and he was discussing, because they were supposed to be tryouts, and then possibly for that show. And then like a week later, Brad was in Austin. I don't know.
Didn't like how the tryouts.
I don't know. I don't know if that is a harbinger of things to come again. Maybe we should avoid Space Cowboys night at ESPN 97.5 considering that.
Unrelated.
I hope so. I'm just drawing. I got my whiteboard up, and I'm drawing and finding theories and trying to make sure one thing doesn't have to do with the other.
Okay. Just those pieces of yarn that you're connecting,
that's right,
really concern me.
All I know is the last time we had a night like that, okay, we were never the same again.
Did you talk to Brad about his first pitch almost hitting the press box?
I know that was a thing. It came up. I didn't bring it up, but someone there brought it up because...
I'm sure they did.
Yeah. I didn't see the first pitch, but when I got there, it was still a topic of conversation. Brad Kellner, now up in Austin, I think he covers the Longhorns, maybe just the Longhorns, yeah, as far as what he does. Shout out to Brad Kellner, who used to be part of the Wheelhouse. We will talk about being very wrong about what happened last night in the NBA. It was a night for Luka and the Mavs. We'll continue to discuss the Astros and what happened yesterday in Seattle. We'll hear from Spencer Arrighetti when we come back. But the Mavs on to the finals where they will face the Boston Celtics. Celtics have opened up as a favorite. We'll get into Game 5 and Luka just being a dog all night. We'll talk about that when we come back.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
After those three starts before that, I kind of felt a little internal pressure maybe to keep the trend a little bit and just keep giving the guys a chance because I knew the offense was going to break out at some point. And obviously they did exactly that today. And I was able to kind of repeat what some of the other guys had done this week against a good lineup.
Your cutter has been since you
got it. Absolutely, yeah. I think that today the results kind of speak for themselves with that one. I still made some bad pitches with cutters, don't get me wrong, but I think that that's the best that it's been in game so far.
Spencer Arrighetti, after his performance yesterday, in the month of May, I said he had pitched better. Here are the numbers, courtesy of one Jeremy Branham. Give him credit for compiling them. 3-1, an ERA just over 3.6, and 22 in a third inning, 26 Ks. So he is someone who has bounced back from his struggles and now is dependable, a word I'm going to use. Probably that's a little early, but credit him for not being crushed under that poor start in April and finding his way. And you heard him. He talked about wanting to continue what the first three starters in the Seattle series had put out there. And you can't blame the Astros pitching for what happened. We know where the blame lies, and that's been the issue with this team throughout. When one thing is going well, another thing falls apart. They haven't been able to find any consistency, but at least the starting pitching found their way for that four-game stretch of games. We'll get into the playoffs and the conference finals and now the NBA finals after we talk to – is that Morales? Wants to talk Astros baseball? What's up, Morales?
Hey, que paso, Delvincito? Hey, Since this show is such a cultured show, I was wondering, since I rock a Houston Buffs fitted hat, does that make me an ally? I just want to know.
I don't think anything you do, Morales, makes you an ally, considering what you ask about on a consistent basis. So the answer is no. I think we're clear on that.
Morales, not La Gente for Rahisi either?
No.
Okay.
So it is a departure from what that person normally calls about and says, but the nonsense, the haven of nonsense that we are, still remains. You're not an ally. You say too many things. That's all. And where do you get one of those hats from? If it's a good looking hat, I'll wear it. It's I'm sure. I don't know if you get it from DHgate or wherever. But the Houston Buffaloes is what he's referring to. And no, not an ally. You got more work to do. Just step away and put the work in. That's what happens when people get in trouble. I've done the work, and now I'm a better person. The work is always something you don't actually know what it is, but they tell you, I did the work, and now I'm back. I'm no longer that bad person I was a year ago. You do that, and then we can talk. So what happened in game five in Minnesota, an ass kicking. And Luka is an author of a lot of ass kickings on the road when he's trying to close out a series. A couple years ago now, when they went into Phoenix and won that game, a lot of it, Luka doesn't like when people are performative. The Suns were a team that, you know, they were so good, but they still wanted to get their work in, so they would work out after games, and the social teams would film it, and that went poorly. We had the Wolves doing that in these playoffs after a win. Hey, we still got to get our work in. We're gonna get an after game workout. Social teams put it out on the internet, and it eventually ended poorly for them. 20 points in the first quarter. I think the score was 35-19 after one. Luka was talking. He was draining threes. It was a night where he and Kyrie absolutely lit up the Wolves. And I won't say it was easy for them, but the way they go about things for them looks easy when you compare it to how the Timberwolves tried to run through offensive possessions. Like the Timberwolves were spastic. It was frantic for them. Nothing felt smooth. You had guys in positions to take shots, like Kyle Anderson. How many shots did Kyle Anderson pass up because he was in spots where the Mavs decided we're going to make sure the ball finds you, and if you want to take a shot, we're cool with that, but we're not going to let Anthony Edwards get to the rim. And how many times did Anthony Edwards drive into the paint and then have to dish the ball? I mean, Rudy Gobert of all people had to do it too, just because he's bagless. We know that to be the case, but there were times where you think he's close enough to the rim where he can get a shot off, but whether it be lack of confidence in his game around the rim or or Mavericks defense, he passed it and always found guys in bad spots. You know it was a problem when Mike Anori and Chris Finch were like, hey, Jaden McLaughlin, you haven't played all series long. You want to play? You want to give it a shot in the first half? Didn't work out.
That's when I – or actually, when I knew that the Mavs were definitely going to win, it was when I think it was after the fourth three-pointer that Luka made. That was like four steps behind the line, and then he immediately turns and is shouting at the crowd. I was like, this could still be a close game, but I don't think that this guy's losing tonight.
No.
I don't think he's losing. And then yes, at the end of the first half, when I saw Jordan McLaughlin get in, I was like,
Jordan, yeah.
I was like, all right, I can turn this thing off.
Pack it up. Anything else you want to watch tonight?
Yeah.
Want to see how hockey goes?
I watched a lot of hot ones actually.
Oh, Sean, what's his name? Sean Evans.
Sean Evans. Yeah.
I did not see any hot ones. I flipped over to Rangers, Panthers. The Panthers went into New York and won Game 5, so they have a chance to get back to the Stanley Cup Finals. They were in last year, lost to the Vegas Knights, I think.
Whoa.
So I switched over to that.
Buffalo Bills of hockey?
It's only one finals loss. If they lose again, maybe we can start to have that conversation.
Then, yes, on this show, when we talk so much hockey, we can start that narrative.
Yeah, we can start a narrative.
We'll track it the entire year.
Is Keith, not Keith, what's his name? Keith is the dad. Is Matthew Tkachuk just Jim Kelly of a new generation? Jim Kelly? We just start making comps between hockey and football? Yeah, because it feels like that show's going to get to that point.
Who's the Thurman Thomas of the...
Barkov.
Okay.
Yeah, I got some names.
I don't.
Yeah, I know.
I have more 90s Bills names than I have.
I could say anything. I could say any name, and you could, okay.
As long as it has a V in it somewhere.
Yeah, as long as it sounds Russian or Finnish, yeah. I can say anything.
Barkov.
Yeah, it's real. Okay. Look it up or not, but just trust me, it's real. But the Panthers going to New York, and the best part of it is sad New York fan cam. I enjoy that more than anything else. I'm not a big Panthers fan, but I'm not going to root for a New York team to win anything unless they're playing Boston. So sad fan cam in New York was pretty cool. So that's what I kind of drifted back to as the Mavs were pulling away. Kyrie wins the conference finals MVP, and it's kind of crazy how people have decided this is a redemption tour for Kyrie when all he did really is continue to play basketball and not say dumb things or a-hole-ish things. He just stopped talking about things. Now, you know, he still supports Palestine, whether you have an issue with that or not, so be it. But he isn't saying things to inflame people, and he's showing up to play basketball, and everyone's like, well, I'm really happy for Kyrie. Why? Because he stopped being an a-hole? All he did was make basketball the focus, which a lot of people wanted him to do anyway. I don't have feelings one way or the other on Kyrie, but I will be rooting for him in the finals. Who the hell roots for a Boston team to win anything? I don't know. I know Boston people because, you know, one works here. But even that's not going to make me root for a Boston team. I don't know Paul's affiliation when it comes to basketball. Is he a Celtics fan?
Yes, yes.
Even more reason to root against them, to be honest. Like, I'm not – I won't be watching –
He'll probably be walking in with a Celtics
a bird jersey on.
Either Bird, the two that he has is Bird and Rondo, okay. Or at least the two I've seen.
He hasn't gone in on Tatum or Brown or anything. He's wearing old school, I guess, at that point jerseys.
No, I think you got to have rings on your fingers.
Shout out to the Celtics for
18 banners, right?
Possibly 17? Winning a title with full HD. I know they won in 2008, but that wasn't even the real. It was barely HD. Just barely.
Without CRT TV?
Yeah. half the people in Boston still had tube TVs with those giant backs. Half the people in Boston didn't have a flat screen the last time they won a title.
We're on like the iPhone 2, iPhone 3 last time.
People still rocking chocolate phones from Verizon.
It was perfectly acceptable to have a Motorola Razr last night.
Last
and
time
no one
they won.
Commented on it.
Last time they won. Yeah.
Now if you pull it out, people are like, is that a Razr?
Even though they're trying to make a comeback. I see what you're doing, Motorola. You're not getting me. I'm not getting one of those. So Celtics, Mavs, you've got the storylines, the narratives. You've got Kristaps versus his former team, Kyrie versus his former team. you've got, I'm calling it the Grant Williams Bowl, to be honest with you. Grant, I don't know how it works.
He should do the toss.
He's got to sit on the baseline, right? For at least one of the games.
The tough part is which arena, which team would have him back? Well, I don't think either team really wants to claim Grant Williams.
I think he's probably more popular in Boston. He spent like 30 games or so in Dallas, and they said, get the F out of here. Get out of here. We don't want you around
anymore. Leave us alone.
Didn't that story come out, whether it was real or not, that one of the reasons they started to dislike him was because he decided who's going to wear Tatum shoes over Luka's? That was a story that was floating around. I don't know how serious that was, but that was a level of pettiness going on.
God, give us someone from the Charlotte Hornets instead of this guy.
Yeah, people were commenting on it. And so P.J. Washington was talking about from the bottom. I came from the bottom. I was in Charlotte. Look at me now.
Him and Daniel Gafford, got traded from the Wizards. Yeah. They're like, look at us.
The trash heaps of the Southeast Division are now in the finals, and they'll see the Celtics coming up here on June 6th. They have time to get some rest in, which is great. I mean, I want the Wolves to win just because I wasn't rooting for Anthony Edwards because I wanted him to be the next Jordan. I just wanted to see if a 22-year-old could lead his team to the finals. Was not the case. Just was not their night. As Sean said, after the 4-3, you could tell that this was going to be a night that belonged to the Mavericks.
once it was 20-12.
That giant run.
Luka's talking the way he's talking. Because they did tie it. I think it got tied.
It was 18-18 at one point.
Oh, yeah. Maybe that's what it was.
And then they went on, at least in the rest of the first quarter, like a 17-1 run. All right. What else is there to watch? Appreciate the effort, Timberwolves.
Yeah. Let's see Chris Hemsworth eat some hot wings.
Was he one of the guests?
Yeah. Lewis Hamilton was the new one. And then that just led me on the
rabbit hole.
What's recommended?
Of course.
I want to see Hemsworth choke a couple of these down.
Chris Hemsworth, yeah. who
Star Furiosa,
which I will probably see this weekend. I'm not going to be a big help to their box office.
Every $13 helps.
depending on what type of seat you want.
Please don't see it.
What
marquee.
About IMAX?
Yeah, go for it.
How much will it cost?
I don't know why I'm looking out for George Miller's pockets.
Yeah, the man's made enough money.
I want another one of these.
He may not be Dick Wolf rich, but
not many are.
Yeah, but he'll be fine. I'll go watch it mainly because it'll be on streaming in like a week. So everyone's telling me watch it in the theater. So I'll go do that. In fact, maybe Michael Carroll has a review, a non-spoiler review. Michael Carroll should be back with us here in the 11 o'clock hour, second hour of the program. He wasn't with us last week because he was at Comic Palooza here in Houston. He hosts a couple of shows, live podcasts. So we'll ask him about his experience there, and then he'll recommend some stuff for us to watch. And maybe Furiosa will be on the list. We'll talk about what happened out at Texans OTAs yesterday. A lot of guys spoke. Nick Caserio spoke quite a bit with Kay Adams. He spent some time with her, so we'll hear his thoughts on CJ and Nico. And it's good to be the Texans. People want to have you on, and Casario's, at least when it comes to Kay Adams and Hershaw, I think he's been on there multiple times. At least it's really been the streaming shows. He was on with also with Pat McAfee a couple weeks ago now, so people want to talk to Nick Caserio. He's willing to speak, and we'll also hear from Joe Mixon a little bit later in the show. He has some strong thoughts about what CJ Stroud can be. We'll keep you updated on anything that breaks. If it happens, just generally it's the time of the day when things happen. So if something comes down, we'll talk about that as well. We'll be back.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
Welcome back. When we left you yesterday, the Texans were in the middle coming off the field for their OTAs. We know Stephon Diggs was out there. Looked good. I kind of poo-pooed all the talk about the connection from Stroud, and Diggs is already great. Don't worry. It'll be fine. What OTA showed is that you have two talented players. Generally, they always figure it out. I don't know how many people needed to be worried about the potential connection, at least on the field. Sean brought up a good point. Whatever happens off the field, as far as if targets aren't going his way, is a different story altogether. But when they're actually playing, two really good players will continue to be really good. Never should have been in question. But Caserio was asked about Stephon Diggs, and he was on with Kay Adams yesterday. And for whatever reason, people were concerned about Diggs not being, at least it became a topic of conversation. Concerned is probably a wrong word to use, but it was a topic of conversation. Where's Stephon Diggs? Why isn't he around? And Nick Caserio kind of talked about that narrative and what was actually happening.
We were on the field here this morning. We've been on the field here the last couple of days. Steph has been here this week. So Steph's had a great attitude, works really hard. He's very competitive. He finishes plays. What you see him do during the regular season, what you've seen him do for Buffalo and Minnesota, you're seeing some of those qualities and traits on a practice field. So there's a reason why he's been as productive and successful as he's been. So philosophically, what D'Amico and I have just tried to do is just build as competitive and as deep a roster as possible. And we understand that there's going to be challenges that we face during the course of the season. This league is so competitive. I mean, I think we played in 10 one-score games last year. We were 7-3, so we were fortunate to come out on the positive end of the spectrum. But our job is to try to build as good a team as we possibly can, give ourselves an opportunity to compete against a lot of good teams, a lot of good coaches. And we feel Steph will be a good addition to the room. I think that room is going to be really, really competitive. We're probably going to have to either move on for some players who are going to be playing other places. But we'll try to keep as many good players as we can here. But Steph's been here. He's had a good attitude. He's had a good approach. So we're glad he's here.
Yeah, at the end of that, you hear the depth of the roster, particularly in the running back, the wide receiver room, and what that might mean for guys. You have your top three clearly. And then who's going to slide in at fourth? Would they like to keep Robert Woods around as their veteran fourth? Do they believe John Metchie should keep a spot? So maybe if you look at those guys, that's 4 and 5. And you're going to keep a developmental prospect around that you can put on the practice squad, and you can put veterans on there too. So, but the guys you see on game day, maybe Noah Brown fits in as well. So there will be guys who you think may have some potential who are cut. And Robert Woods probably is a guy to look out for considering the contract. If he's no better than fifth in the pecking order, do you really want to have him around for veteran experience when you have a guy like Stephon Diggs? Nick Caserio has done a good job with that wide receiver room where you can have a conversation about a Robert Woods or Noah Brown not being around. And I think if there is an emergence of John Metchie, one of those two could be in a little bit of trouble, which not great for them, but it means the youth and the draft picks you have used on the wide receiver position have hit. And wide receiver, so very important in the NFL today. And having a great room like that would help you sustain injuries or help you with injuries and what might happen throughout the course of a long season. So you credit Nick Caserio for that. And sticking with the wide receivers, Nico Collins, a topic of conversation. He is a guy who was just one of a couple guys to get a big deal. In this week, wide receiver money was being thrown out by GMs in Houston and in Miami. Nico Collins was one of the guys to benefit from that. Here is Caserio on Nico Collins and the type of guy he is and why he got his extension.
Yeah, I mean, Nico has been a good player for us here for a number of years. I would say when you kind of look at the arc of his career, where he started, going back to when we drafted him in 21, he didn't play football in 20. So because of COVID and everything else associated with it, and was a participant in the Senior Bowl and had some traits and attributes that we liked. So we were kind of drafting probably a little bit potential at that point. But he was productive with his opportunities in Michigan. And then he produces a little bit as a rookie, kind of ran into some bumps in the road. I think the big thing last season, was just his confidence and belief in himself, his ability to kind of stay on the field. The offensive staff did a great job with him, was able to develop a rapport and relationship with CJ. Nico's a great kid, salt of the earth, everything that we want our program and players to be about. So to be able to reward him with an extension that he's earned, nobody's granted anything just because. So he's earned the opportunity.
Salt of the earth. You don't hear that a lot about players in the NFL. Well, you just don't hear people say it anymore. He's salt of the earth.
I feel like that's also you don't hear that said about like 24-year-olds
no,
a lot.
That's said about older people who you run into, and they're just good people. You know, that overarching phrase. He's good people. Salt of the earth.
Yeah, I feel like you have to be 30 plus, maybe even like 35 plus to be salt of the earth. I don't think young people can be salt of the earth.
No.
I don't think I'm salt of the earth.
I'm certainly not. I'm an elder millennial. I'm certainly not salt of the earth.
Yeah.
You can't call me that. Nick Cassero would not say that about me.
No, he would not love some of our habits.
No. He wouldn't. I don't think he'd want us in the program. We're not
Texans worthy.
Yeah. That phrase, thankfully, that phrase has been buried. We don't hear that from people with the Texans anymore. Which is worse, Sean, do you think? We heard Texans worthy for a while. It became just something everyone joked about. And back of the baseball card for the Astros is something that they've buried pretty quickly considering the response. Texans worthy or back of the baseball card, which one do you feel the most cringe from?
I don't want to have recency bias, but back of the baseball card is, it's also just so, I guess they're both very patronizing, but
yes.
the baseball card is so like,
it's pretty
let me tell you a thing or two about
it's pretty much telling baseball. You to say, I don't care what your eyes are saying. I don't care what the current stats are saying. You're wrong because of something that happened in the past. You're telling me what I see and what I know isn't real. When you say, but the back of the baseball card tells us something differently. And that's what we're going to go with.
I think also, despite Alex Bregman's good game, with a home run and a triple,
yeah,
home run two nights before in Seattle, basically everyone they said back of the baseball card about just hasn't worked out.
No.
Like they didn't say it about anyone that actually has bounced back and shown what it says on the back of their baseball card. Like they're 0-for on the back of the baseball card.
Peña wasn't what we wanted him to be, and he has bounced back. Recently, he struggled a little bit. Altuve's always been fine. Yordan didn't catch a lot of heat early. He had a couple of hits opposite way a couple of nights ago. And certainly you want Yordan to get better.
But maybe Hader? Did they drop a back of the baseball card on Hader?
They might have. That one is probably one where they can say that's a win. I don't remember specifically, but he would have fit into that, hey, clearly he's been a really good pitcher. Yeah. He's struggling. Back of the baseball card. That would have worked. But
Presley would not have worked.
No. Bregman, get above 240 before we start having a real conversation about your turnaround.
I remember the three good games he had
against
Seattle, or no, against Cleveland, I think it was.
It was at home, and he had a little bit of a swagger to him, and
cream
then
rises.
Yeah, the cream rises, and then we all saw what happened afterwards once those three games ended. But like you pointed out, he had a better series in Seattle. Didn't result in a lot of wins, but he did have some extra base hits, which is better than what he has been. I don't know how he got back. I know how he got back to the Texans. I mean, the Astros talking about stupid slogans.
Texans worthy.
Talking about stupid phrases both franchises have used.
I mean, now they're good with swarm. That's a good one.
Yeah, you guys do that quite a bit on Gallant and George. We need something. We need
Texans
a bit.
Swarm.
What should we use? It doesn't even have to be Texans or. Well, we do like to say we got one more in you. That's one of our things. But we need something that's affiliated with one of the local teams. Do we
ready for liftoff?
Do we go relentless about stuff? Relentless. Hashtag relentless.
You know, when we started the show, I probably would have wanted to gravitate towards something Astros related.
Sure.
Sitting here on May 31st, I don't think we need to be, you know, tying ourselves to the Astros very much.
You got a point. They haven't proven Astros worthy enough.
They've been relenting too much.
Yes, I still remember the first game of the regular season. They put up the 4 spot on the Yankees early. They were up 4-0, and then I saw a tweet about the offense, and from not an Astros account, but just someone who's in the city and likes the team. And they used the hashtag relentless. And, of course, we know the Yankees came back and won that game and swept the series and has been really downhill since that point. Downhill. There's been nothing relentless about the Astros except their willingness to disappoint the city. That's been relentless. They've done a good job with that.
You know what? I think I got one more in me.
I like that one for us. I do like that because it's very the show. It's very internet. It's very sarcastic and it's very nonsensical, which is what we're kind of about here. And what we're also about is always being late in the third segment. Just happens. We're very late. We will come back. We'll hear from Joe Mixon in the second hour. He spoke about what he thinks this team can be, particularly the offense. And his thoughts are right along with what a lot of people believe because of all the weapons they have, and particularly the couple of acquisitions, including Mixon, that were made in the offseason. So we feel good about the Texans. We feel good about what happened yesterday for the Astros. And there's a new mock draft out. We'll see what Jonathan Givony thinks the Rockets should take, who they should take, or maybe he has a trade in his latest mock draft. He's of ESPN. We'll talk about that when we come back.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
Welcome back. We'll keep this one short to get back on time. Jonathan Givony of ESPN has his mock draft out, his latest, and the Rockets pick remains Reed Sheppard. Reed Sheppard is the sharpshooter out of Kentucky. He leans into the Rockets' lack of shooting and why Reed Sheppard would fit, talks about what he could be other than a shooter, and says his unselfishness, feel for the game, and sharp defensive instincts could make him a strong fit for this Rockets core, which gets me and Sean to joke about what really is the Rockets core. Core 7, core 6, whatever it might be, but Reed Sheppard still at 3. Of course, there's also in the paragraph a lot of conversation about the Rockets wanting to trade the pick, and I think that's their best course of action. Trade that pick for someone to accelerate the timeline. And I'm only saying this because I think that's what the coach wants. I think it's better to have Ime Udoka be in line with the organizational thinking than there to be some type of difference of opinion about where the Rockets should be. They won 41 games last year. They would like to take another step, and I don't think Reed Sheppard helps them take that step. Not the step that says we're a real playoff contender. And by contender, I mean making the playoffs, not a team that is contending for a title. The level of star could change my opinion on what the Rockets can be next year. Reed Sheppard doesn't. He, according to Jonathan Givony, it's really because of what the Rockets need. I don't know if he believes him to be the best college prospect, but the other guys are not college players who are ahead of him. He has Alex Saar of Australia, and then Zachary Risiker of France.
I never had to learn
that. Risiker.
I'm sick of these France. Frenchies.
Wembanyama. Remember when Wembanyama was difficult, and now we've got Risiker.
He's good enough that we learned to say
his name. Yeah. We'll see if, as you said, the other Frenchie is good enough where we actually have to learn his name and be able to say it. I'm just gonna call him Zach.
Also, Alexander Saar. He's from France. He just played in Australia. So
that's true.
1-2, we got France.
What are we doing? What happened to the game I love, Sean?
And then number 3 is Reed Sheppard. What happened to the game you love?
That's true.
Then you got Topic. God.
Hey, he's Serbian, and it sounds like the name of that other great Serbian player, I guess. So
his first name's Nikola.
Well, we'll try it out. We'll see what happens. Just draft him. See what happens. So Sheppard is the pick if the Rockets keep it. I am of the belief that they should not keep it. And if the conversations about fast-forwarding the timeline are real, use that pick plus whatever player and salary you need to match to go get yourself an available star. Now, I'll rank them, Sean. And just, it's hard to throw age out of it, but let's go, because some of the guys you're going to only have for like 3 years because you're going to give them the max extension, and it'll be a total of 3 years. So I give you the option of Donovan Mitchell, but you're going to have to give up more to get him. Or Paul George, who has leverage over the Clippers. He can just say, hey, if you don't trade me where I want, I'll just go sign with the Sixers. I don't really want to play in Philadelphia, but I'll take their money. They're willing to give it to me, and you'll get nothing. I'll opt out and take that money. So trade me where I want. or Jimmy Butler in the same way. If the Heat don't give him his extension by the time they can, which is at least the first chance they can, which is in early July, that extension window can go all the way up to next year. But the reports are out that he wants it. He would like it this summer, and he may let it be known that someone else will give it to me, so maybe you should trade me. Those are the options. They're going to cost less than Donovan Mitchell, but you may like that they don't cost you the same type of assets, and you're only tied to them for a couple years as opposed to the 4+ that Donovan Mitchell would be entitled to. Which one would you prefer?
I'd go Mitchell. You said Mitchell, George.
Mitchell, George, or Butler.
Butler. I'd put it.
And rank them, I guess.
I'd put it in that order, but probably Mitchell number one, and then it kind of depends on the like specific deal for the other two, for Butler and George.
Okay.
The thing with George is that he's a little bit better in the sense that the ball doesn't – or he can play better with the ball out of his hands. And so that with Alperen Şengün, that it's something that is more interesting to me than the Jimmy Butler off the ball experience, which
Sure. He's
fine. It's not doesn't cause like huge issues for the Heat, but it is something where George is a good shooter, where Butler's probably like average,
yeah,
maybe a little below.
He shot more threes than he has in a while, maybe ever. And he shot over 41. He was a 41% three-point shooter, not high volume, but more than he's shown. So that was good if you're looking for someone who can – you can't call Jimmy Butler a guy who can space the floor, but he is a guy who has shown the ability to knock down threes now, even in the regular season. We know about playoff Jimmy, but even in the regular season.
And the regular season point takes me to – can we get him to play in the regular season?
Well,
are there tennis tournaments he wants to go to?
Maybe less here in Houston, because the ones like Stephen Ross, the owner of the Dolphins, has made tennis a priority. He's put courts around the where Hard Rock Stadium
there's
is.
There's no F1 race here.
Yeah, there are a lot of things that Jimmy likes in Miami. He's a multicultural sports fan. He likes soccer, racing. Yeah, no Bad Boys movies in Houston. Yeah, so there are less distractions, I guess. As far as what Jimmy has shown to like.
And it's not about, like, specific distractions. It's just like, this team is not the Miami Heat where get us in the playoffs, we'll play whoever, we don't care.
There's a fight to make the playoffs, yes.
Yeah, and especially just in the Western Conference, just full stop.
Yes.
There's more of a fight than in the Eastern Conference.
You miss 20 games in the East, you can make the playoffs and be fine. If one of your best players misses 20 games in the West, particularly for a Rockets team who's still learning, it could be a real problem if the goal is to not be fighting for the play-in. So, yeah, I would agree. Donovan Mitchell is my favorite choice for the Rockets. Younger, can be a lead guard. It'll certainly cost more to acquire him as far as assets. But if we're trying to propel yourself into a team that could potentially be a contender as guys grow around Donovan Mitchell, I'm with it. That's my number one. I would probably make Paul George number two because he already loves Şengün. He has been open about his love for Şengün, and I think he's been on the podcast too, Şengün on the George podcast. So that's the number two. If you want a chaos agent for whatever reason, then Jimmy vaults up to number one because he would be a chaos agent. Things would begin to revolve around him more than they would the others, I think, just as far as the personality of the team is concerned, where the other guys – certainly will be lead dogs, but they wouldn't be guys where everything is molded around them. I think Donovan Mitchell and Paul George are more likely to fit into what's going on as opposed to taking over. Jimmy Butler would say, I'm the one taking teams to the finals, so you should be molding your team around me, even at the age of 34/35 once the season begins. So we're done with hour one. We'll continue to talk about the Astros. We believe there's a conspiracy afoot. At least I do. I believe the Astros made a call. I talked about it early. We'll talk about it again. And credit to Spencer Arrighetti. That was a nice performance. We got some Texan stuff to get to as well. And some college football stuff. Because the SEC is chirping again about what they have the right to. And I'll talk to Sean about that because he's a new member. I want to get his take on it. We'll be back.
Hey, everybody. Lady Luck here. And we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.